Hey, welcome to Info Under the Radar, the show where we talk with an expert to simplify everyday ideas, concepts, and subjects that surround us.
Hello, and welcome to another shortcast of Info Under the Radar. I'm your host, Vishwajit.
And I'm Devendra.
And today we are talking about future of travel. So Devendra, imagine it's year 2050. You are living in London. You have a meeting in New York in 3 hours. You are about to drive from your house to a nearest shipping dock. You sat in a ship. This ship took you to a launching pad, which is a floating launching pad in the middle of an ocean. You went inside a rocket on that launching pad. You buckle your seatbelt. And then this rocket, before you realize, this rocket is already out of Earth in a suborbit. And then you're realizing you are going at 17,000 miles per hour. And before you can even realize that, holy shit, what is happening? You are already re-entering Earth again. And before your wife sends you a text, where have you been? You are already on another continent in New York. In less than 30 minutes. Are you excited about that future?
that question sounds more like a rhetoric than a question, but yeah, sure. Fancy. Let's call it that. The most hypothetical thing in this example is me having a wife then.
I mean,
but rather on, since you mentioned that. It is. And if you think about it, it's a very dreamy idea, so sure. So basically, I would be spending less time in traveling than I would be to getting a visa for both these countries with an Indian passport. So yeah, sure. Sounds exciting.
So actually, when I am proposing this idea, well, I should say I am not proposing this idea. I am just proposing a story here or hypothetical future. Some people are trying to make it realistic, famously or unfamously, your favorite person on this whole planet, Elon Musk. We are referring to him again in this podcast. Funny thing is, just before we started recording, Devendra was telling me that how annoying it gets for him to, that we are we are talking about
Elon pandering.
Elon pandering. So I know I'm just saying this to, you know, rub it on his face so that he gets even more annoyed. But all of our pre-recording shenanigans aside, I mean, since we have invented planes, we have always thought about going faster and faster and faster, right? So now someone like Elon or some others are proposing intercontinental travel with rockets, which again is a crazy thing to think about. But there are more realistic applications of it, of going fast, right?
I mean, it also has a history of it, of course, right? Like, it's not that now we are suddenly trying it, but there's also a lot of things that have been done in the past. We were quite young to remember that or even understand the technical details of it, but Concorde used to be a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And if you are like us, who sort of, you know, born in the 90s or late 80s, you might not necessarily even remember Concorde. I mean, Concorde stopped in 2003. I was in third grade at that time. I got to know about Concorde like a few years ago. So Concorde was one of the very, very few supersonic planes in human history, which were fast. And when I say fast, they were really fast. So they were supersonic, meaning the speed of Concorde was faster than the speed of sound. So faster than 1200 kilometers an hour, which is insane to think about, considering they started flying, I think, late 60s. And then they flew until 2003. So to me, and by the way, to give you more realistic idea, so if you have to imagine fly from New York to London, it will take you about 3 to 3.5 hours in a Concorde flight in the 90s. And right now it takes about 7 hours, 30 minutes to 8 hours, depending upon the airlines you take. which is insane. So we have actually went back.
Yeah. So you mentioned it, right? Like Concorde is one of the earliest, at least as far as the commercial passenger flight goes, because there have been applications in military, of course. But it came down in 2003 because of a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. One of them could be that we have heard that supersonic speed in general causes a lot of issues when flying over things. Mm-hmm. In itself, it's a very high decibel sound.
Yeah, it's called sonic boom, basically.
Yeah, so before we delve into that, maybe we should first, we are going to use these terms more often than not. Maybe we should explain the difference between supersonic and hypersonic.
Yeah, so hypersonic is even more futuristic. So supersonic is basically anything which is faster than the speed of sound. So it's very much strict definition. So anything which is faster than, let's say, roughly 1200 kilometer an hour, right? But with hypersonic, it's not well defined. It's a bit fuzzy. So in very, very normal terms, it's fucking fast. So it's basically, in scientific terms, it's maybe six or seven max, let's say.
Yeah.
And one Mach is basically, again, equals to speed of sound. So 1200 kilometer an hour. So when we talk about 6 to 10 Mach, and by the way, we were already flying some hypersonic planes, even in the 60s, with speed, which was about like 4,000 to 5,000 miles per hour, by the way. And NASA even had a record of flying an unmanned, I think it was a fighter jet or something, at 7,300 miles an hour, which is insane.
So when something is flying at that high speeds, and so it comes with, of course, a lot of challenges involved. And possibly some of the reasons were those because of which Concorde couldn't go any further than 2003. I mean, you're flying also at a very high altitude. Like it's 60,000 feet was the altitude?
Yeah, 60,000 feet. So passengers were able to see the curvature of Earth. But then what about all the flat earthers?
They were not taking Concorde, just like the anti-vaxxers for which COVID doesn't exist. But either way, focusing on important people. This also, it comes with many other challenges, like maneuverability. Like you need very specialized pilots for that. It is not very easy to maneuver something that is at such a high speed. Then because of that speed, aircraft used to experience a stretch in the aircraft.
Yes.
Because of the intense heat that is being generated. So there were a lot of things that were happening, but at least most important thing to take away from this story or the brief revival of history chapter is that Concorde was the first step towards the direction that, okay, we can travel faster than the speed of sound.
Yeah.
Which is already quite a thing.
Yeah. And again, imagining this was happening like in the 60s and 70s. I mean, it's crazy to think about it, right? Because right now our planes, yeah, they are good. They are... Well, I don't even know if they are better now because even the seats are getting smaller and smaller. So, okay, granted, they are getting cheaper and more accessible for an average person because with Concorde, spacing was an issue as well. So there were only like 100 odd people can fly in that. Plus, it used to be very, very expensive. So it was like a status thing almost. So like your celebrities or important politicians and people of that magnitude were flying, not an average Joe, right? But still, that does not take away the scientific achievement or the engineering marvel which Concorde was. And yeah, I'm sure people who are aware about Concorde, they can imagine this plane with this crazy looking nose, right? Because Concorde was famous for how it used to look. And one last point on Concorde, one of the reason it stopped, let's say, especially because there was a big flight crash. I think it was Air France flight 4590, unfamously. And it, within, I think, 2 minutes of it taking off, it crashed and crashed like in a very, very, in a disastrous way that everyone in the plane died, and also it crashed in a hotel. So some people from the hotel died as well. And that kind of started making people question Concorde, because anyways, people were talking about these loud sounds, which it used to make, which we will talk about it in a second, called sonic booms. Yeah. And besides that, another issue with that was the immense fuel consumption. So it was definitely not cost efficient, right? But then mm-hmm. also it was consuming like 26,000 liters per hour. So if you mm-hmm. think about it at that time, of course, no one giving a shit about environment, to be in all seriousness, because right now the companies which are working on supersonic jets or passenger planes, they are actually mm-hmm. thinking a lot about, you know, how to make it carbon neutral. So which is a good direction sort of we are heading towards.
Yeah. And this is an achievement from 60s and 70s. And if you listen to our last episode, we realized that 1970 was the time when we created a suitcase with a trolley. Compare the amount of innovation and scientific achievement in the same era. But this was past. Where are we at this current day and age then?
So currently, there is some exciting stuff happening. So let's talk about the very realistic thing which is happening. So from last few years, NASA has been working with Lockheed Martin to build a supersonic plane. It's called X-59 QSST. QSST is for Quiet Supersonic Technology. Basically, it's short for that. So basically, what they are trying to do is to create a plane with a technology which will not make these loud sounds which a plane like Concorde used to make, because it is flying at that intense speed, which again higher than the speed of sound. So basically they are trying to gather data what will be the optimal speed to have with this new technology, which makes almost like a sound of a door closing on a car. And before we go further, I think it's a good time to explain what is these sounds like called a sonic boom.
Yeah. So in sonic booms, whenever your any object in the air or in any fluid medium, rather, air is a fluid medium, when it takes off and it crosses the sound barrier, which is 770 miles per hour or 1,234 point something kilometer per hour, there's a very significant boom-like sound that it makes, which is very disastrous in general if you're exposed to it for long durations of time. And it's like around 200 decibels is the measured the intensity value for that. So that is what a sonic boom is, which also one of the problem of Concorde was.
Mm-hmm.
So NASA, the X-59 QSST is trying to do it, and they're trying to minimize it to roughly 75-ish decibels.
Yeah,
nearly that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is basically ASMR for aerodynamics engineers, that low. So that is something very, very interesting to see, combining that with the highest max speeds that we are aiming for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so for now, they are trying to fly it at about 1.3 max, which would be roughly 1600 kilometers an hour or so, which is already quite fast. So trying to have, you know, faster planes, but which will be allowed by the regulators. So the good thing with this project is they're working closely with US regulators to provide them the sufficient data they need to make a call on, again, allowing supersonic planes to fly for normal passengers. So that's, let's say, the very ground thing which is happening. But then there are companies which are also doing a lot of cool things. So for example, famously, there is a company from US called Aeron, which was building these planes for chartered business flights, let's say, where 15, 20 people, of course, super rich 15, 20 people can fly from. And
is the same company that's working with Airbus, right?
I think so. They were working with Airbus, mm-hmm. and their engine was worked with General Electric's, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. But and they have made some really like cool work in last few years. I was reading about it, but the sad thing is they just 1 week ago or so, they announced that they will have to stop their production because, yeah, the problem with this type of invention is that this involves a lot of cost and not necessarily they are able to justify that to their investors. Hence, they have to stop. But Aeron was one of the leading manufacturers which was coming along in the last few years. But before people get sad, there are other companies like, you know,
yeah,
Boom.
We have our friends coming from World War again. The Rolls-Royce is also working on supersonic jet, along with Virgin Galactic is also working on the same technology. So we have some people that are working on the supersonic jet technology as well.
So basically they are working with Virgin Galactic, which is also, you know, creating rockets or trying to create rockets and things in the space. And in this case, they are working with Rolls-Royce, as you said, for an engine which can be used in supersonic planes. So there are companies definitely doing things in supersonic world. But so this was what is happening currently and sort of in the near future. Hopefully we will able to have some supersonic planes. What about this even one, faster planes, like hypersonic planes?
Yeah, that's where like recently one company has tested, it's the name of the company is Reaction Engines. It's a British company. And they currently tested a cooling system that could work for a speed of Mach 3.3. So that is coming closer to, let's say, around 2,500 miles per hour or 4,000 kilometer per hour. And their aim is to build something that is boundary line hypersonic. So like Mach 5 or above is called hypersonic in general. Mm-hmm. So they want to aim for a speed of 3,800 miles per hour or 6,100 plus kilometer per hour. So this is what they are doing. And there, if we put it into the concept of time, so New York to London would then be 2 hours, which is significantly better than what 8 hours currently roughly is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy if we have also just like, you know, Concorde type speed, because with Concorde we were also flying like 3 hours, which was really, really quick, I would say, right? Compared to what we have right now, like roughly 8 hours. So I'm really excited about that. But of course, if before hypersonic planes can took off, both literally and metaphorically, I think we need to figure out more the supersonic technology first, and hopefully regulators can approve it, and then we can think about hypersonic planes. But there are, of course, companies working on it. There are also some ex-NASA scientists or even space crew members from past endeavors to space are also working on some hypersonic planes.
Yeah, that is in general quite interesting. And we should also take a brief look at the idea that even if you're not interested in aerodynamic research or aeronautical research or any of these stuff or planes in general, it also has secondary and tertiary effects. Like if you feel that the distance that was covered, let's say from Munich to India at this point is 8 hours. So that fundamentally bridges the gap of networking between two completely different continents. So mm-hmm. the people's idea of networking changes, that on a weekend, I can go and meet some people on a Friday evening and then come back within the same day. If it's like a 2 hour travel on that regard, it also, like funnily enough, removes the kind of challenges, the idea of a long distance relationship. As well.
I was thinking the same thing, honestly. I was thinking then the couples who are living very far away cannot make an excuse that we should break up because long distance thing does not work.
Yeah, so let's meet up and then break up because it's quicker that way. So it kind of removes that idea of distance measured in kilometer, and also brings into perspective that has always been that how much time does it take? Because I don't care much about kilometers if it takes just half an hour or 1 hour. Right. So it also has those sort of effects on that. But then this is what we have right now, and we are working towards it for near future, let's say. But have there been any, of course, there have been some dreamy ideas floating around in the space for far future where people are trying to even exceed Mach 10, Mach 15, Mach 20, that's going mm-hmm. like 30,000 kilometers per hour as well.
Yeah. I mean, so again, that brings us to sort of like in a sweet way what we started this podcast with, talking about rocket travel, right? So if we will be able to travel in rockets intercontinentally, it will be at least Mach 25, which is 30,000 kilometers an hour, which is insane. So that's why the flight from London to New York would be less than 30 minutes. And right now, let's say the idea which has been floated around by Elon in a video, which by the way lacked a lot of details, in at least in our research, was that you will have to take a ship to go to a floating launch pad, take the rocket, go to suborbital space, re-enter the atmosphere, touchdown. Sounds almost very sci-fi. So, but of course, it seems also very unlikely compared to like the supersonic, hypersonic flights, not just because of cost, but also because it's supremely dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, you could You don't want humans arriving in installments. That kind of doesn't. I have a feeling that people won't like it that much.
I mean, so Elon said that it will almost feels like Disney's Space Mountain roller coaster ride. So I mean, I'm not a fan of roller coasters. I have to say I'm fucking afraid of them. So I'm not sure if I will enjoy this. But joking aside, I mean, there are also unique and highly skilled like pilots are needed for something like this, because now you don't need a normal pilot who can just fly something, but now you need someone who understands rocket as well, right? So yeah. So even with Concorde, we had like very, very few pilots who could fly those planes because they were so different from your usual planes, which we have. And imagine having a rockets, then we need like these super highly skilled people who don't understand just aerodynamics, but also rocket science up to some extent.
Yeah, so maneuverability, as we talked about earlier, is one of the challenges that has always been presented when you travel at such high speeds. Then there are also challenges of cooling down the engine that fast because mm-hmm. it's running at super. Then you have two aerodynamic challenges. How do you design it properly? Then there are the gravitational challenges in the set that your people are sitting inside it. So can they take that much pressure? Like if you're not trained enough, you can't even ride and you can't even just go around on a track and drive an F1 car. Now imagine much higher pressure than that when you're leaving the earth and achieving a terminal velocity. Then there are thermodynamic restrictions. There's a lot of restrictions.
There are a lot of issues with it for sure. And on top of that, I mean, ultimately, to be honest, if this does happen in our lifetime, I think it will be definitely for normal people, right? I mean, like with anything, right? In the beginning, air travel was also for the upper class, let's say, or the rich people, which is totally fine, of course. That's how things unfortunately work, because it's all about money at the end of the day, right? But Elon claims that he wants to fly a rocket with about 1,000 people, and roughly it will mm-hmm. take like $1.3 million or so to take one flight from, mm-hmm. let's say, London to New York. And then if you have 1,000 people or so, then about $1,200 or something, which is not that bad. But again, this is all just ideas, so it's not very realistic.
Okay, so closing the loop in that regard, that this does opens a lot of possibilities as well, of course. I mean, if you read about it, Concorde has helped in saving lives as well. So we would share some links down so they can read more. But with that, we open the question to you, which is that, do you think that you'd be interested in taking such a flight if it comes in test phase? And does that excite you in general? So please feel to reach out to us with the answers, your comments, suggestions, critique, review, hugs, anything on social media. Our social media handles are on Twitter. You can find with @info_under_radar. On Instagram, we are @info_under_the_radar. And on YouTube, you can just search info_under_the_radar. And with that, we conclude this kind of futuristic chronological air journey episode with you guys. And hope to see you next week.
See you next week.